that people make and never keep. A country that once stood so tall on faith and liberty has compromised its standards and it's falling to its knees. Well, holiness and godly love are very hard to find when so many so-called Christians are sinning half the time. A fear of God and a made-up mind are things of yesterday. But we need dedicated saints of God that will stand for Jesus' name. Shine your light, serve the Lord with all your might. Can't you hear the battle cry? It's time you choose your side. Make up your mind and count the cost. Will you be saved or be lost? Will you stand and complaints are a waste of precious time. It's time we raise a standard, oh, against the enemy by leading souls to Jesus and to the
Matthew's Gospel in the 13th chapter. Appreciate you being here today. I urge you to be here tonight as well. And especially if you're a worker in the church. And if the Lord allow, I'm going to do a little something at the end of the service. If you're a worker in the church, a position, you need to be here. You need to be here anyhow, right? For sure. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, 13th chapter, and verse number 13. Now, the disciples is asking Jesus here, says, "Why do you speak in parables?" How many knows what a parable is? Just kind of just had one right here. This is a parable right here. This is a parable. For those of you who don't know, it's something to explain that you can see in natural life, in everyday life, to explain spiritual things. Look there. Didn't take long. It's breaking off, huh? People wonder why they backslide and fall out of the church. Not attached to the vine. Amen. Jesus answering back, and he says, I'm going to pick it up in verse 13. "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." You know? "And in them is fulfilled prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. And your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are, and we ask God that you would touch our hearts in a way that we can see and we can hear today in this place. Father, if it be so, Lord, help our grammar and our explaining of the word be so humbled, God, that even a child can understand what we're saying this morning. Even the backslider or the sinner can understand as well as the one that is rooted in the word. And Father, we just love you today and we praise you, Father, that you know how to do this. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. He says in verse number 14, Isaiah had prophesied this about Israel and even people even today, that he said that they will hear, but, you know, they won't understand. And they'll see, but they will not perceive what is going on around them. They'll not understand. They'll not be able to put together or to process, if you will, or to comprehend. You know, you ever talk to someone, especially about things of God, and they look at you like a calf looking at a new gate? Like, what in the world does that thing do? I mean, you know that they don't understand what you're talking about. And they'll be shaking their head, and you say, it's like this. If somebody asks you, do you know... you know so-and-so, some name of a person, you know, they'll ask you like this, you know them, don't you? And before you think about it, you'll be saying, yeah, you don't have a clue who they're talking about. And sometimes that's the way it is when you know, people are in the things of God and you know, someone's talking to them about it, and they say, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? And it's, oh, yeah, you know, they don't have a clue what you're talking about. Amen. So he's saying here that they can't put it together. They can't process it. They can't, you know, hearing they can, but they can't understand it. They can't grasp the importance of the things of God. That's what we're talking about this morning is how to understand the importance of what God is in our lives. Why do you come to church? Do you know why you come to church? Or you just come because somebody invited you? Or you just came because it's what you got in the habit of doing? Why do we do the things we do? Do we understand why we live right? Why we try to live separate from the world or holy? Do we understand these things, or we just do it? It's for a reason, amen. And if you don't understand it, if you can't put it together, somewhere down the road, someone will trick you up and trip you up and cause you to go astray. Amen. If the things of God and church doesn't make sense to you, you don't know how to put them together. You just shake your head. Yeah, yeah, I understand what you're talking about. But your mind is full of questions. That's no way to live for God. Amen? We need to know who we are and what we're doing. Amen? It said they have eyes to see, but they can't perceive. They can't see it mentally. They can't understand why. Why do y'all sing songs so loud? And why do y'all lift your hands and praise the Lord? And why do you get excited? Why do you gotta have joy? Eh? Why do you get, you know, when somebody says Jesus 5 or 6 times, you'll all start clapping. Why do you do that? See, the world don't understand that. Amen? They don't understand what turns us on. Amen. They can't grasp around. They can't discern clearly. Always, it's always a question in their mind, you know. They understand that Jesus died on the cross. Yeah, Jesus came and he died on the cross. They beat him and he died and all this kind of stuff. But why do you get so excited about it? See, that's what we're talking about this morning. To know what we're all about. Why are we here? See, some people can't see in the Word of God. It's some examples, a couple of them. I'm going to give you an example of someone that can't see spiritually and someone can't hear in the Word of God. We went over in 2 Kings, and there's a story, and probably all of you know this little story here of the time when Elisha was, you know, getting him some sleep, and his servant came in. His servant came in and said, "Hey, Elisha, the enemy is around us." And it was. The enemy had come to get Elisha, and they had circled all the way around him. They had him blockaded in. And they was there with their whole armies, and they had the house surrounded. And the servant, you know, gets up and goes out, and he looks, and he could see fleshly things, but he couldn't see spiritual things. So often we see fleshly things that really is not nothing that we need to keep our eyes on. And he comes back and he wakes Elisha up and he says, "Man, the enemy has surrounded us and there's no hope." And Elisha never gets up and looks. He just said, "They that are with us are more than they." And sometimes when we talk like that around people and they're all up in the air about all kind of crazy things, you know, and they see us and we're doing something that totally doesn't make sense to them, they look at us and say, "Y'all bunch of idiots." I mean, the guy probably said, "Elisha, you an idiot. I've seen them. They are that with us are more than they. What are you talking about? It's just me and you here." And Elisha said, "Lord, open his eyes." That ought to be all our prayers said here this morning. Is, "Lord, open my eyes that I can see." I believe that my eyes are open, but I pray this morning my eyes will be opened even wider. That I could see more clear. And the Lord opened his eyes, and when he opened his eyes, he saw the mountains full of chariots and horses and of fire around Elisha. In other words, between them and the enemy, Elisha already knew that God said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll go with you. I don't have to look and find out if God's there. He's already told me he'll never leave me nor forsake me." Come on. If I can't feel him, that don't mean a thing in the world. His word said he's there. And so he's there. Amen. Between them and the enemy was the chariots and horses of fire, the angels all around them. Amen? See, a lot of times people can't see, need their eyes open. Story of those that can't hear is a good story is King Hezekiah, that he couldn't hear the Lord. And several places in the Bible, Isaiah had to come and, you know, tell Isaiah things because he just couldn't hear the Lord. Some people can't hear the Lord. That's why all these empty places are in here. Y'all look around and see them empty spots. That's those people that can't hear would have been sitting there if they could hear. So y'all can hear this morning. That was supposed to be a funny. Yo, maybe y'all can't hear. In the 38th chapter of Isaiah, you read it, the whole story. I'm not going to hold the thing, but Isaiah heard from the Lord, and he said, go tell Hezekiah that he's got, you know, get his affairs in order, he's going to die. So he goes over and he tells him, he says, Hezekiah, the Lord said, get your affairs in order, you're going to die. He had boil sores all over him. I mean, he laid on a bed there and just give up. He said, boy, get your affairs in order, you're going to die. And he headed back out, you know. When he got out to the courtyard, old Hezekiah done turned his face to the wall and started praying and said, Lord, I've walked before you with a perfect heart. I've done what you told me to do. I mean, he got his eyes off of the situation and got his eyes back on God. Amen. And so he began to pray to God, and God answers Isaiah out in the courtyard, says, look here. Said, go back and tell him he's got 15 more years. So he turns around and he walks back into Hezekiah and said, Hezekiah, you got 15 more years to go. And he started back out, and Hezekiah said, no. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute now. I want me a sign. How many has ever wanted you a sign? All right, I got a scripture for you. He says over in Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter, verse 4, he says, it's a wicked and adulterous generation that seeketh after a sign. We need to just simply believe God. Come on. I don't need a sign that God's going to do it. He's already sent his word that he'll do it. Amen. But we want to have I got to have me a sign. I mean, there's people that, don't meddle. And so he says, well, what you want? Isaiah said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll make the sun go forward 10 degrees. He said, it's already going that way. He said, make it go back 10 degrees. He said, you ask for hard things, but okay. And you know what happened? That old thing said, all this orbit, if, I don't know whether the earth's turning or the sun's turning. I don't know. But either way, that shadow on that sundial stopped and started rolling back. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, God will prove himself to us. Come on. But you see, Hezekiah couldn't hear. And there's people in the world that can't hear. There's people even that come to church and they can't hear. And they're trying to tell the preacher what to do. And the preacher can hear, but they can't hear. But yet they don't believe what the preacher's saying. Sad, isn't it? Pretty bad. It's a lot of people in the world that are blind and deaf, and a lot of people in the church world that are blind and deaf. He says in Proverbs the 29th chapter and verse number 18, he said, where there is no vision, the people perish. Well, what about Brother Nathan? They got a little vision. Well, they're starving. And there's a lot of people in the church world starving because they have a little bit of vision. They got a little taste of God, a little glimpse of God, and that's as far as they go. They're kind of like somebody swimming, and they just got their feet wet, and that's as far as they go. They won't get on out into the deep water. Amen? He showed Ezekiel that river. You know the river there? And he gets in about ankle deep, and that wasn't good enough. And he goes on to about waist deep, and he gets on out there where the water's to swim in. It's over his head that we got to trust God. But there's so many people in the church world that this is, all right, I'm saved and I'm satisfied and this is where I'm at. And I don't want to go any further because I'm trusting in flesh and I know what I can do. God can't work miracles in our lives there. We're going to have to get out to where we are out of control. And it's not my will anymore, but it's God's will. And God, whatever you want from me, whatever you have for me, here I am. Amen. That's where it's at, friends. That's where miracles take place. The miracles is nothing but muddy water around the edge of the lake. You got to get on out in the clear water. Amen. There's a lot of people that don't understand the things of God. He says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, he says, for the preacher of the cross is them that perish foolishness. Who is it perishing? Those with no vision. They don't understand why y'all would come to a redneck Georgia boy that can't sometimes say all the King's English properly, and you'd come and listen to me holler at you. That's a what bunch of idiots they are. Huh? To the world. Now you ask yourself, why do you come? Why am I coming here? It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. God chose the foolishness of preaching. Amen. To save the world. Glory to God. He goes on down in verse 26. He said, foresee your calling, brethren. How that not many wise men after the flesh. That means fleshly educated men. Come on. Some of the greatest preachers I've ever heard in my life was old country boys. Amen. That didn't hardly know anything about worldly education. I mean, I'm not down in education. Everybody needs one or two of them. Amen. And it's good to help you get through this world a little bit. And especially if you don't have God, you need that education for sure. But some of the best preachers and the best singers and the best workers in the church was them people who didn't know the things of the world. But boy, they knew the things of God. They knew how to get in tune with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Not many men, wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty people who have made it. They've, you know, with wealth and made it in their own trust, and they're trusting in their own ways. You don't see many people like that ever go far in God. In fact, you don't see very many educated people go very far in God. Except Brother David, there's some really good educated men that has got churches that your church would fit in 50 times, but they don't preach nothing. You ask them about, what do you think about abortion? They say, well, I don't think it's the best option. No, it's no option at all. What do you mean? What do you mean? I mean, people beat around the bush. When, you know, people ask about sin, they kind of beat around the bush. No, man, tell them like it is. Tell them it's murder. Well, they might not like me no more. So what? God will. Amen. Not many noble, not many well-bred people are called. Not many that's trusting in their name. Because my name seems to be a little bit bigger than Jesus' name. Huh? Find it hard to humble before the name of Jesus. Huh? It says, verse number 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He chose the donkey to preach to Balaam out there. He chose the rooster to crow to Peter and convict him. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world. He chose David, not Eliab. He chose David to fight Goliath, amen. He chose David the king, if you will, amen. The weak things of the world to confound them that are mighty. And the base things of the world, how Jesus came into this world and the Savior of the world was born in a stable, not a big castle, not the White House. Come on. But he was born in a stable. Why? Because I've never been in the White House, but I've been in a stable. Amen. And he came where I was at. Hallelujah. The base things of the world. So we need to get off our high horse. My God, we need to get off our high horse and get down to where the people are at. Amen. And get them saved. Hallelujah.
That's right. That's it. Come on.
The base things of the world and things that are despised. John the Baptist, the forerunner, the announcer of Jesus Christ, wearing camel's hair and eating wild honey and locusts. He chose him to announce the Savior of the world. Can you imagine? Had it been the United States government, all they'd have spent $1 trillion announcing him. They would have even recognized him. And yea, the things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. That no flesh should glory in his presence. It is not what I think. It is what he says. Come on. It is not what I understand. It's what he understands. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I mean, can you imagine there? Can you imagine Israel there around the walls of Jericho? Just picture them. I mean, there's million people. I don't know how it's over a million people. Look, can you imagine in the dusty desert that many people tromping? It's got to be dust. Huh? I wonder, like some church people. Oh, boy, y'all throw too much dust up there. No, they didn't say a word. Some of them said, boy, we look like idiots out here doing this. In fact, them on the wall, I can only imagine. Hey, what y'all idiots doing out there? They go around the first day. They probably maybe quiet on the wall the first day. They didn't know what they was up to. Went all the way around the city of Jericho, you know. I mean, these big walls up there, they race chariots around on top, you know. And them fellas up there, what are they doing? They maybe getting ready to attack us. Y'all get ready. Well, maybe about the third or fourth day, they didn't know they ain't doing nothing but just stirring dust. Hey, I bet y'all thirsty out there. Y'all some water? Who y'all following? Y'all look crazy. Still going. Huh? Can you imagine? To the world it looked foolish. To the world it looked dumb. But to God is exactly what he told him to do. Why did he have to go around one time one day? And every day to the seventh day. And they go around seven times the seventh day. Why? Ask God. I have no idea. I don't know. But just ask God. If God tells me to go stand on the corner, in the corner of on my head, then why? Just ask. Just do it. I don't know why God. I don't know why God made the giraffe with such a long neck. I don't. Maybe he needed to get them leaves up there that all them others was eating the bottom ones, and they got the fresh ones. I don't know. Why did he make the elephant with the long trunk? I don't know. Why did he make some of us good looking? And the rest of them out in the world ugly. help us, Lord. God is good, isn't he? I heard a preacher the other day, he mentioned there in Hebrews in the 11th chapter, and verse 29. Y'all know what it says, don't you? Okay, what was it? It was about faith, yeah. It says, by faith they came through the Red Sea. And it said, which afterward Pharaoh, assailing to do, drowned. His army drowned, you know. That's 29. Verse 30 is, and they marched around the walls of Jericho. That's 40 years. That's 40 years between verse 29 and verse 30. 40 years. In fact, God didn't find any faith out there in the wilderness. Why? Because it's always about Moses. Moses, why are we doing this? And why are we doing that? And what you got us out here for, Moses? What's this? And what's that? And blah, 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 blah. They couldn't see and they couldn't hear. And they died in the wilderness. Amen. Battery must have went dead. Amen. He says, they died in the wilderness. But it says, they marched around the seventh time. We'll even march around the wall. What happened after the seventh time on the seventh day? The walls fell flat down. Did it not? Amen. Just like God said, if we'll just do what God is asking us to do and don't question, just do what he says to do, I'm telling you, we'll get the benefit of what is coming after that. Amen? Amen. We need to learn quickly to listen to God's ways, not question them. Amen. Because his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It's like Samuel when he went over to Jesse's house, and Samuel knew that how Saul was a big old man. And so here's Jesse starts bringing his sons through, and he brings the first one, the eldest, Eliab, and he's a big old fellow like Saul was. And Samuel looks at him and says, oh, that's got to be the king there, because he reminds me of Saul. That's got to be the king there. And the Lord said, nope, that's not him. He said, Samuel, you're looking on flesh, but I'm looking on the heart. I'm looking on the inside. I don't need to look on the outside. You don't need to look on the outside of things, amen, of this world, because you're taking them at face value. You need to learn to be led by the Spirit of God and do what God said. You don't have to sit there with full of questions and, why, Lord? Why do you want me to do that? Just do it. We must learn to walk by faith. Amen. He says,
He says in 1 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter verse 14, he says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they don't understand them. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. See, whenever you get in the church world and you have half the people that has the baptism of the Holy Ghost that are spiritually in tune, that are led by the Spirit of God, and you got half of them that's led by the flesh, you're going to have problems in your church. If there's never a move of God, the fleshly people are happy. But when there's a little move of God, the spiritual people are happy. But it, on the other hand, if it's not a move, the spiritual people are sad. And if there is a move, the fleshly people are sad. Amen? Because they don't understand one another. They're totally opposite. They're enemies of one another. It says, it's like the story in Luke's gospel. Read it when you get home. Those taking notes in the 7th chapter, starting 31 all the way to the end. And there's a story, and y'all know it. It's the one where the lady comes when Jesus goes to the Pharisee's house, and this lady comes in, and as he's talking to him, and kneels down and starts washing his feet. Y'all know the story, don't you? With her tears and drying them with her hair and putting the ointment on. And after a little bit, the Pharisee just thought in his heart, he must not be much of a man of God. If he was, he'd know what kind of woman that is. And Jesus perceived this. And he asked him, he says, there was a certain creditor that had two debtors. One owed 500 pence, just say $500. And the other owed $50. And he looked at both of them. He says, I'm going to forgive y'all both your debt. He said, which one would be more excited? He said, I guess the one that owed him 500. He said, exactly. He said, I come in and you didn't anoint my head, or you didn't wash my feet. You know, that's custom. Yet this woman's washed them with her tears and dried them with her hair. You didn't give me a holy kiss, yet this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet. You didn't put anoint my head with oil, yet this woman is anointing my feet. You know? He said, for much given, for much forgiven, see, she's more excited. I said that to say this. You don't know like I know what the Lord's done for me. See, it's like that fellow that, I don't know if it's true or not, brings a good point. And he was at church and sat on the front pew, and he's always praising the Lord. I mean, he'd just get excited and start praising the Lord. Some of the deacons went to the pastor and said, hey, you go out and do something about old brother Jones. Any Jones in here this morning? Ain't no Jones. Okay. Could say Smith, but got one. Oh, brother Jones, you got to do something about him. He's disturbing my sleep. I mean the service. And so they get together one day. They go out to his farm, and he's out there plowing with an old mule, and he see them coming. They got just about there, and he pulled the reins on the old mule. He said, whoa, here. Pulled that old straw hat off and maybe wiped the sweat. He said, preacher, he said, you don't have to say nothing. I know why you fellas are here. He said, I get a little emotional there in church. I get a little bit, you know, excited. He said, preacher, you get talking about how Jesus laid aside his glory up in heaven and he came down to such a man like me. That I was on my way to hell, and he came and he touched my heart one day and he saved my soul. He wrote my name to burn heaven somewhere, and I'm going there one day. He said, preacher, y'all going to have to hold his reins. I'm going to have to praise him right here in this field. I can't stand it no more. Amen. I'm telling you, that fella said, you don't know like I know what he did for me. You don't know like I know. Just a few years back, I could be dead and not here this morning, but I'm here and I'm well. You don't know like did for me. You don't know like I know what he did for me. You don't know. You don't know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm still with my family. Still see my grands grow. Still with my children. Still with my wife. Still preaching what God has called me to do. You don't know like I know. Glory. How have you worshiped today? How have you worshiped today? Look here, you're either worshiping like that Pharisee or you're worshiping like that woman. There's no in between. You're either a Pharisee or that woman. Amen. The Ark of the Covenant had been gone from Israel for a long time. It represents the presence of God. The Philistines, because of Eli and his corrupt sons, Phinehas and Hophni, had carried it out on the battlefield, thinking that God was going to fight their battle when they was full of sin. The enemy whipped them and took the ark. Amen? It'd been gone for years. Finally, it's a long story. I don't want to go through it all, but God just showed up there, and every one of them Philistine cities had said, "Get him out of here." And he went over. Finally, they brought as far as Obadiah's house. David wouldn't let it come back into Jerusalem because he thought it was a curse on it or something. He said, "No, I done heard what it's doing to them Philistine cities. They all got hemorrhoids. God can be a pain in your behind. Come on." He says, "Leave it there." Later he got word that his house was being blessed because of the presence of the Lord. Ain't it amazing how when God comes in there and becomes Lord of your house, your home, and your life, you begin to blossom out. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? So David goes up to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. It says when they had got the ark and they went six paces. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. David said, "I can't take it no more. Let's party. Let's worship him." And David began to worship and praise God and dance and rejoice in excitement of God. Amen. And they keep getting a little closer and he keep praising. And they begin to come into the city. The Bible said that he took an old royal robe that he had. It represents self. It represents who we think we are. And he threw it aside. And he put on a linen ephod. And he began to dance before the Lord. The Bible said, with all his might, praising God. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about that man the Bible said that was after God's own heart. That's who I'm talking about. The man that had a spirit of worship. The man that's got a seat in heaven, a high place and position in the kingdom of God. That's who I'm talking about. He gets to verse 20. David comes back into his house. It says, "Return to bless his household." And Michael, the daughter of Saul, his wife, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens of the servants. And one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered it himself." And David said unto Michael, "It was before the Lord It wasn't before. I don't preach because of any of you sitting in here. I preach because God told me to. Amen. You didn't call me and you can't shut me up. Come on. You can't stop me. Amen. God called you and you don't come to church and you don't do a work for God because man told you. It's because God did. Amen. And he said to Michael, he said, I didn't do it to show off into the people. I don't even know if anybody was around me. It was me and the Lord. And we had a thing going on there. He said, it was before the Lord who chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I plead before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than this, and will be base in my own sight, and of the maidservant which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore Michael, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. In other words, she was not fruitful. You want to be fruitful in the things of God, you must learn to open up and forget about that one on that side of you, and forget about that one on that side and those around, and get to praising God. Amen. It's the vine that we got to be attached to. And if you're attached, you'll be fruitful. Seeing and hearing. She was not fruitful the day she died because she despised praise and worship of God. They told Jesus when he was coming in, make them hold their peace. Don't y'all forget, fellas, when we go to the mountain, bring something back, big rocks. I don't know who stole them rocks. If I could find out, I'd take them and hit you with them. No, I wouldn't do that. Y'all know I wouldn't do nothing like that. Big old rocks we used to dinner. That's why they was there. Jesus said, if I tell these to hold their peace, immediately the rocks and stones would cry out. I don't want no rocks to cry out in my place. That's a song. Amen. I don't want to sit there till I become a rock either. Amen. Amen. Matthew 26:31, it says, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Boy, we talk big, don't we? Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. Peter said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Wow. Talk is cheap. Oh, I love the Lord. Show it. Sister Connie tells me that sometimes. If I tell her I love you, she'll say, show me. Prove me. Prove me. Amen. Oh, Peter talks like some of us say, Lord, I'll serve you, Lord. Lord, I'll do anything you ask me to do. I'll be anything you have me to be. Lord, I give up anything for you, Lord. Talk is cheap. Would you do whatever God asks you to do? Would you? Think about it. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. That's exactly what he wants. He says in Luke's Gospel, the 7th chapter, verse 23, he said, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. In other words, stumbled or tripped up. I don't want to do that. I want you to see a picture of those coming instruments this morning. Get a picture, not of them coming instruments, but a picture of this. The man in Acts, sitting at the gate, beautiful, begging alms. And Peter and John going in about the time of prayer. Now see him sitting there? Y'all know what Peter said, right? When the man held a cup up, didn't even look at him, held a cup up expecting to receive something. What did Peter say? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise and be healed. Told that little story because the man went, jumped up immediately, began to leap and rejoice, and excited. And he went into the temple, and it was already full of people in there. Mind you, every one of them people in there had to walk past him. Every one of them. How many agree that they had to walk past there, the gate, to get into the temple? They had to see the same thing that Peter and John saw. They had to see this man, and he needed help. But yet they walked on by. Walked on in with their big old King James Bible. They didn't have them then. Big old scroll and their long rows, maybe. They had what? Nibs. Yeah, nice. NIVs. No, they wasn't there either, but I was just wondering, why didn't they help him? I mean, the man had been laying there for all them years. Makes you think, don't it? He said in 1 John, in the 3rd chapter, he says, hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I mean, we ought to lay down our lives. We can't even bend our knee to pray for them. Much less lay down our life for one another. We can't sacrifice a moment of time to say a little prayer for them. I remember my dad telling me one time, it's a camp meeting out there in Georgia, and the tabernacle had a front to it and a back and a roof, and the sides were all open. Big tabernacle. And they're sitting there, and this fellow was running round and round on the outside of the tabernacle, just running. And every once in a while he'd jump up in the air and holler, praise God, or something like that. He just kept going around and around. The fellow sitting next to my dad says, what in the world is wrong with that man out there? My dad said, you must have not have been here last night. He said, no, I wasn't. He said, they rolled him up there. He'd never walked in his whole life. And they gathered around and laid hands on him. He'd come out of that wheelchair. And he'd been running ever since. You don't know like I know what he's done for me. He said, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. He said, the works that I do, you can do also and greater. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever, or whoso hath this world's goods, think about it, and seeth his brother have need, and sheddeth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Now, the scripture, I believe every person in this building, I believe every one of you in here, this is what I believe in my heart. That if you knew somebody was hungry, you'd go carry them some groceries. I believe that. I believe that every person in here would do that. I believe if you knew that they needed some money, that you'd give them a piece of money before they leave this building. I believe that you'd do that. I believe that you would do that. If we would give them fleshly and material things, how much more should we give them spiritual things? When we see them hungry for fleshly food, or weak because they've not eaten fleshly food, or in need, We'll do everything to help them. But yet when we see them spiritually starving or spiritually hungry, when we see them come to the altar, we just sat in our seats and said, Lord, let them be warmed and filled. Rather than getting down there and helping them through. You see, everybody can't see. And maybe you can, and you need to help them see. And everybody can't hear it. Maybe you can, and you need to help them hear. That's what it's about. You see, if there was a bridge out, and you saw somebody headed with a carload of children down that road, their whole family, and you know just around that bend, that bridge, is a blind spot, and they'll run right off into that ravine, and you was there on the side of the road, what would you do? Would you say, as they pass, bridge out down there. And they fall in there and they all die, and you say, well, I warned them. No. I think if we really cared for them, we'd be in the middle of that road if it took it. We'd be throwing logs out there. Hey, there's the bridge is out. You got to hear me. We'd yell it out, wouldn't we? Preached a message one time to see the things you've never seen before, you're going to have to do the things you've never done before. Do y'all know the definition of insanity? Insanity is doing the same things that you always do and expecting different results. Not going to happen. If you want to get a deeper experience with God, you got to do something you ain't never done before. If you just continue to do the same things over and over in the things of God, you'll always be where you're at right now. Second Kings in the 7th chapter, in closing. There's a story there. I'll read it when you get home, starting verse 1. There's a famine in the land, but the story gets down to these four little old lepers. You might not think you got much to offer, but God, look here. Man, God always takes a little, makes much out of it, don't he? And they begin to talk with themselves. They said, why sit we here till we die? I've seen people sit on the church pew and actually backslide and die and leave the church. I can take and, with the Lord's help, prepare the food. I can set the table, but I can't make you eat. Can't make you get saved. Can't make you... He said, why sit here till we die? One of them said to another, said, well, if we go in the city, it's a famine there. They said, well, we go out there to the Syrians and said, man, they'll kill us out there. They said, well, we just going to die sitting here for sure. So let's just go take our chances. Why don't you just take your chance? Don't die sitting there. Amen. Amen. There's a soul waiting on you. There's someone waiting on you to be different. To be different. I don't know what you need this morning from the Lord. I don't know where you stand with God. I don't know if you're saved this morning. I don't know if you're in a spiritual battle this morning. I don't know if you need your eyes open, your ears open this morning, but God does, and that's all that matters. But you need to respond. Everywhere in the Word of God, I've seen that someone received something from God, they had to do something first. God will honor what you do this morning. If you get up from there and say, Lord, I don't know about you. I don't know the things of you. Or Lord, my eyes. I need my eyes open, my ears open. Whatever it is you need to respond like Brother LaVon's doing, coming right now. See, he's already responding right now. You need to get up and come right now, just where you're sitting. Just get up, just like Brother LaVon got up right here. He did it. You can do it. Just where you're sitting right now, just get up and come. So, Lord, I need you to show me some things. Lord, I don't want to be like that, the servant of Elisha that could not see the things of God. And Elisha could see them and never even look. He knew that it was there. Lord, I want that confidence. I want my hearing so, God, that I don't have to depend on somebody else to tell me. God, you can tell me. The rest of you that's got the goods of God, and you see these others in need this morning, you need to gather around them and begin to pray for them. Amen. Just picture them as they're hungry and they ain't got no food, and they need you to bring them some food. They don't have any money and they need you to slide them a $20 bill or a $100 bill or whatever it is. Just come. The spiritual things are more important than the fleshly things. That's it.